Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
Greetings, Curiosity Builders. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, makers, artists, podcasters, writers, filmmakers, designers, and coders who are on a mission of bringing their ideas to life by creating new things and getting their work to work. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast, challenge your assumptions about what is possible, and chase big ideas so you can become who you were born to be. How do you incorporate play into your work, both in the process of creating it and in the finished product? Play is a topic I've been thinking about this week as I return from the Bend Design Conference, inspired by the conversations I had throughout the event. I intellectually understand why play is so important, but I still don't take the time to bring it into my life and work. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to explore the curious nature of play internally and externally. Show notes and links to resources mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/348. You'll also find links to stream the show on the major podcast platforms and an opportunity to sign up for my email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. Each week, I send out some thoughts on curiosity along with books, videos, podcasts, and other resources blowing my mind as well. Last week, I had the opportunity to participate in the Bend Design Conference. I did a live interview with Peter Burr and Ivar Zaley. You can actually hear that in the previous episode of Getting Work to Work. And what was great about that was it was outside of the normal interview process that I go about. And so I approached it a lot differently than I approach the normal interviews on this show. And what was great about it was, since it was a live performance, there was certainly a sense of play involved because I could actually see the other people I was interviewing. And so there was definitely a sense of playing off of visual information and even information from the crowd. And so in this context, there was really a connection to play and performance. And what's interesting is that as I think about the events scattered throughout the conference, I had two encounters that were really influential in thinking about the curious nature of play. The first was with Diane Gibbs. Diane led a workshop called Stepping Out of Your Comfort Zone. And what I appreciated about her was that she's really play personified. She has a podcast called Design Recharge. She's an educator and she's a connector. She's full of high energy and you could just tell that she has a good time in everything that she does. There's not only a playful sense to her personality, but just in the work that she showed, really showcase a sense of play and really being willing to try things out, whether they're perfect or not. The other encounter that I had was during a speaker lunch. I was sitting next to a gentleman named Troy Coleman, and he was really all about play in the context of work. He came at it from an intellectual but also tactile approach to play. He was carrying Play-Doh with him everywhere he went. And what I appreciated about him was he really wanted designers and creative people to really bring play back to their work. And we actually spent most of the lunch talking about play and how we can really do that. And in the live interview, towards the end, he asks the question of Ivar and Peter, how they bring play into their process. And I just can't stop thinking about this idea. And the first question that I have is, how do you play in work? As creative entrepreneurs and creative professionals, we've got work to do. We need to get our work done. We need to get more work. We need to finish work. There's always stuff that we have to do. And there never seems to be enough time to play. And it's really interesting because as I think about what play in work means, it means to me trying things or experimenting. It means letting my guard down so that I don't have to worry about whether something's perfect or not, or whether it's done on a computer versus by hand. When I play in my work, it's not really when I'm sitting in front of a computer all day long. There's also a sense of letting my mind wander. But as I think about play, I think about, what will people say? This has been a powerful question that has run my business since 2006. What will people say if I choose to do things differently? If I choose to bring play in? If I choose to play instead of work today? But then there's other things that prevent play from showing up in our work. It's things like, I've got a deadline. There's no time. But what if it's not perfect? There's always time to play. In our work, there's always time to play, but you make time. Just like you have to avoid perfection if you want to play, because perfection is the death of play. Earlier today, James Victoria, in one of his Instagram stories, had this quote. He said, "Play is how we give our work meaning." How can you not want to play knowing that it's what gives your work meaning? That, to me, is a mind blower, because if I don't play, does that mean my work has no meaning? That is a question that is hard to answer. And on one hand, I might just reject it flat out and say, no, my work has meaning because it serves the client or it gets me paid. But I think what James is getting at is that there's something deeper to our spirit that play gets at, that money and accolades never could. And it leads me to the idea of just play in general. How do you play? Play for me is connected to curiosity. I love asking questions. I love exploring, and I love discovering new things to me. I'm always reading new books, listening to music, playing video games and games in general. I love new experiences. But what's interesting is that I went to the library today to drop off some books and pick up some more books. And as I was walking through the stores surrounding the library, I couldn't help but touch the different fabrics. To me, it put a smile on my face, and there was a sense of play there. But another way of playing is this phrase that I heard at the conference, riffing off what exists. Not ripping off, but riffing off. I love the idea of the riff. In metal music, the riff is kind of that main hook of the song. It's the pattern that repeats itself, that changes throughout the song. And they're often the underlying foundation of the guitar solo. Without the riff, you wouldn't really have the solo. And that's fascinating to me. So what can you riff off of in your life and work in a sense of play? Another thing that's interesting is that play is connecting my imagination to everything I do. In the book Walking in Wonder by John O'Donohue, he writes, all creativity comes out of that spark of opposition where two different things meet. When I hear that, my imagination soars. I imagine play opposing my process of doing things. I really like that because I know how to do certain things and it gets stale so quickly. And that's why play is necessary. It needs to create the spark. There is play and established process of doing things. There's play in what I know and what I don't know. And there's play in solo and group practices. And I think really what play gets at is the idea that life is ever-changing and abundant. O'Donohue writes again in Walking in Wonder, there is constant change all the time, and imagination is the most faithful force in helping change and continuity maintain a dialogue with each other. And this just leads to an even deeper question. How do you play internally? Oftentimes when we think of play, it's really this, you know, external notion of play where maybe we're on a playground or maybe we're playing with Play-Doh or maybe we're drawing or sketching or trying things that we normally wouldn't do. But I think there's more to play than just these external manifestations of it. I think we can play in our spirit and soul, in our thoughts and ideas. It could be how we soar high above the ground as we consider life as a dandelion blossom. Or we simply visualize a life lived differently starting today, right now, in our mind. Life and work can be driven by something beyond a relentless grip on seriousness, perfection, and getting ahead, when all we're really actually doing is falling behind because we can never keep up. And we need that spark of change and continuity. But how do we do it? I think we do it with play. And play really starts in our hearts, because that is where we give ourselves permission to play, where we give ourselves permission to grow into who we used to be, but forgot along the way because there wasn't money to be made in how we saw ourselves before. Again, O'Donohue writes this beautiful sentiment, "May you become the gracious and passionate subject of your own life." And to me, that sentence is full of this notion of play. Without play, you cannot be passionate. Without play, you cannot be gracious, because all you'll ever see is what you don't have. And I think play allows you to do more than you could ever possibly imagine if you were willing to give yourself permission to play. So I end with James Victorious quote from Instagram again. "Play is how we give our work meaning. But I also add, play is how we give our life meaning. Play is how we give our relationships meaning. Play is how we give our soul meaning." And I absolutely love this curious nature of play. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.